Well, we've been on this journey over the last few weeks through this Advent season, this time of preparation, this time of expectancy. That's what what Advent means. It is an expectant time. It is preparing. And we have been doing that over the last few weeks. Just to recap our journey of what we've done, we began beginning of December looking at this idea of adoring Christ the Lord. And then we moved on to looking at the message that the angels brought to those shepherds, and just the representation of that with the stars that we have here. You see that? Last week, we looked at the wise men and the gifts that they brought, and that gift of worship that is our responsibility as well. And today we come to a point of coming to the manger. And this is our final time in Advent, our final week before Christmas Day itself. So this journey of preparation has been very important for us. But I wonder whether for you, what your last little bits of preparation do need to be. Specifically, has anybody got someone coming to stay at their house over Christmas? Anyone? Oh, very excited there. Yes, people coming to stay. You've got to make preparations for people coming to stay, don't you? It might be you need to sort out where everybody's going to be sleeping, okay? Sorting out beds, maybe checking out linen, making sure that you've got the linen that you need and everything's okay, and you know, whether it's blow-up mattresses that you've got to prepare and things like that. Those preparations for people coming to stay with you are very important. Now, is anyone traveling and heading away? You boys are off to New Zealand, aren't you? Yeah. So there's some traveling here that these boys are going on. For some of you, you may be traveling, and you've got to make sure that your plans are ready, so you double check and maybe even triple check to make sure your accommodation is secured. You don't want to turn up to find out that there's no accommodation there for you. Maybe in your travel preparations, you make sure you get your pillow and you pack that, because you need to take your pillow to where you're going. Who's one of those kind of people? And yes, you don't want to land in a place where you've got a side sleeper pillow and you're a tummy sleeper, all right? I don't get it, but that's what some people are like. So you've got to make sure you've got your pillow there. All of your travel preparations are actually very important. We come to this point in the Advent story where we want to focus on the preparations that were made for Jesus, for his birth. For Mary and Joseph, as Acacia read for us, and as most of us will very well know this story, they journeyed from Nazareth to Bethlehem because they had to go there for a census. I'm sure Mary in her head was thinking, why now? I'm about to have a baby. The last thing I really want to be doing is jumping on the back of a donkey and traveling. But that was what the journey was for her. And we find that as the story goes, they find themselves in Bethlehem, and the time was right for her to have the baby. So again, if you've got your Bible there, and the words will be on the screen. And this is what I want to look at today. Just these few verses that help us. Verse 6 and 7. While they were there, this is Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. While they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Something like this. Just a simple food trough for animals. Nothing too exciting, nothing that was expected by any means. I'm sure the expectation for this newborn baby that Mary was to have was nothing like this. But this is what it ended up being. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no room available for them in the inn. Now, we know what that story is, and we're all familiar with the idea of the fact that there was nowhere around for them. We wonder why there was nothing prepared. What was it all about? Was it that there were so many people there that there was nothing available? Was it because they were a newly married teenage pregnant couple with no money? And they had nothing to pay for accommodation that was available. Was there something available and they just couldn't get it? I don't really know. I don't get it. The story doesn't go into that much detail. If people had have known that this baby that was coming would have been the Messiah, would things have been different? Would that innkeeper have thought to himself, the Messiah being born in my inn? Wouldn't that be great on a sign outside in years to come? Come and see the room where the Messiah was born, the Savior was born. He could actually have that room kind of secured off, and people would come and pay money to see the bed that Mary laid in. They could see, he'd leave the room exactly as it was, and the plate where the food that they ate from, that'd still be there. And the actual crib that the baby Jesus was born in and placed in, that would still be there. And people would come and pay their money to see the room that the baby Jesus was born in, if he had have known who was coming. But the innkeeper had no idea that the Savior would be born on that night. "No, I got nothing, sorry. No room for you, no room for either of you. If you want to stay here, out the back where the animals are, just head out there. I've got no room for you here." I don't want to spend too much time thinking about why there was no room for Jesus that night. Because we need to ask the question today of each one of us: how are we preparing room for Jesus? Let every heart prepare him room. We sing that every year. We sing it every single year. Let every heart prepare. You know, you sing along with it. Yeah. And we sing it. But what do we do to prepare him room? How do we really prepare? And not just for now, but for the days and the weeks and the years to come, preparing a place in our lives for the Messiah, for our Savior. As you read through the Gospels, being the first four books of the New Testament, Gospel meaning the good news, the Gospels tell of the message of Jesus, the story of Jesus' life. Now, I don't know whether you've picked up on this, but all of them begin differently. You'd kind of think that the natural thing is to talk about who Jesus is, the story of Jesus' birth. Well, they're all very different. Matthew actually starts with talking about the genealogy of Jesus, his ancestry, the family line, going all the way back. And that's how he starts. Mark actually begins right at the beginning of Jesus' baptism and then his ministry, his public ministry. Luke, as we read here, starts with putting the story all together and the angel announcing to Mary that she would be the mother of the Messiah and that story as it goes. That's how Luke begins. But John begins very different. John actually begins with almost this poetic style of writing. And he begins a little bit cryptically as well. So, if you flip over to the Gospel of John, I didn't get this page number, I'm sorry, I didn't grab that one. But John chapter 1, verse 1. John begins like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He begins almost like this, this cryptic thing. If you're reading this for the first time, kind of that doesn't make a lot of sense, really. But we need to be able to read into it this. We need to be able to say, all right, the Word is actually Jesus. John is referring to Jesus here as he uses the word, Word. So if you read that, it kind of makes a little bit more sense. In the beginning was Jesus. Now, John's very theological here. He's actually talking about the fact that right in the very beginning of time, this idea of the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were all there in the beginning. And even right at the very beginning, Jesus was part of that. So, in the beginning was Jesus, even before he was physically born. And Jesus was with God. He was there existing in the beginning of time. He was with God. And Jesus was God. So no separation between, well, the Father is God and Jesus is just an earthly representation. It's actually saying that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all one. And John begins by painting this picture for us. And it's important that we know this and understand. We did sing these words before. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Word, Jesus, of the Father, now in flesh appearing. And John goes on in verse 14 with these words. The Word, Jesus, part of that Holy Trinity, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So here we go. This is where John brings in this Christmas story. The fact that God came to earth with us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Anyone here a camper? Anyone here like camping? Lindsay? You can come and help me, mate. Oh, don't jump in too quickly. Yeah. Oh. Chainsaw. I've got a little tent here, Lindsay. I need you to put that tent up for me, please. Okay. So, yeah. While Lindsay's doing that, We need to go back on a little journey a few months back. Who remembers when we started the series that we did called Meet Me Here? Does anyone remember doing that? Yeah? That we did this series called Meet Me Here, where we looked at the way in which God meets with us and we meet with God. And the very first week of that series, we looked at an Old Testament passage where God said to Moses, I want to live and dwell in amongst my people, the Israelites. God said to Moses, I want you to make or build a tent. And this tent you will call the tabernacle. And this tent will represent my presence in amongst the people. in amongst my people. All right, here we go, Lindsay. Do you want me to, do you need help here? We good? Sort of getting, yeah. He hasn't seen this tent before. So Lindsay is actually going completely blind and you're actually doing quite a good job there. So, excellent. So, the tabernacle was that place that represented the presence of God in amongst his people. Now, as we read, and I'm just going to duck in behind you here. I'll help you do that much at least. So, there's a little thing in there. That's good, that's good. Okay. While Lindsay's doing that, let me give you a bit more of a word picture here with John chapter 1, verse 14. Okay? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? So, that's not a good tent just yet, but it will get better. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Quite literally, if we were to translate that little sentence there, it would say this, that the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Or that the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. That is the literal translation of that verse. That the Word became flesh, Jesus, God himself, became a human being and pitched his tent in amongst his people. In other words, he came to live with his people. How are we going?
We are. No damage.
I'll grab this one.
Here we go.
Yeah.
You know the trick there?
Yeah, there's one that's got a hole and one doesn't. And we're through the one that has the hole.
Goodness.
There we go. We've got this. Okay.
Perfect.
So the Word, Jesus, became flesh and he pitched his tent among us. Are we good?
We're almost there.
Good job, Lindsay. Excellent. So very simply, there we go. Thank you. Don't go too far. I'll need you in a minute as well. Here we have this representation of what Christmas is all about. The fact that God said, I'm going to send my son to pitch his tent, to become flesh, to live here in amongst his people. So we've got this representation. Now, the question is, what do you do with this? Where do you put this? Yeah. So you want to head off camping somewhere? I suppose the obvious thing for us to do would be to say, if we're going to think where Jesus would be, it would be here on this holiness table, this place that represents God himself. And we would come and meet him, come and join with him, come and meet Jesus here. But as you read this passage, it says the Word became flesh. God came and lived with us. He tabernacled. He pitched his tent. Where? What does it say? Amongst us. So Lindsay, take this tent. You've got to put it down in the middle here, please. All right? We've got to put this tent in amongst you people in there because God needs to dwell in with his people, all right? Now, it's actually going to mean some people might need to shuffle around a little bit. No. Right in the middle. See over in there? Yeah, just right in the middle, okay? Put it over in there. That's good. That's good. Okay. Right in there. Yeah. Just there. That's good. So God became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Now, sorry? No, there is no esky. No. The loaves and the fishes, that he'll provide. So, yeah. Now, some of you are thinking, well, that's a little bit inconvenient. I can't see now. That's right in. Hello. How are you, Gordon? Nice to see you there. So, there is a little. Yeah. You know what? It is true that that's inconvenient. But the reality is, sometimes making room for Jesus can be a little bit inconvenient. And some of you people sitting over here are thinking, I'm glad he put it over there. Well, Lindsay, can you just grab that tent? Just move it over there, all right? Just move it over there. Move it across so that it's right in the middle of those people. And it may be inconvenient. It may actually mean that we need to move ourselves a little bit and change what we're... Oh. And I understand, Bevan, it's a little bit hard for you to move. Shuffle around. How do you... Yeah, we'll put it in... That's good. Sometimes when we prepare room for Jesus to be a part of our life, it means that we may need to shuffle around a little bit sometimes. It means we may need to move some of the things that we think are quite permanent in our lives. It means we may need to adjust the way that we think. To sit there and think, well, if God comes into my life here, that's actually quite inconvenient. I can't see that thing that I normally look at. It's in the way of something that I would normally do. I always just sit here and I'm very comfortable here, but for God to come here and be a part of my life now, that would be very inconvenient. And for us to be people who grow in our relationship with Jesus, you know, sometimes it means that we need to move a little bit. And if we sit there comfortably thinking, God, I'm here and you do your thing around me, Jesus may appear and say to you, I actually want to dwell with you right in the middle of your life. And it may mean that the things that are comfortable around you have to change, have to move. What does it mean for you to prepare room for Jesus? And I'm not just talking about for Christmas. I'm talking about going into this coming year, going into whatever season of life you are moving into. Sometimes to prepare room for Jesus means that we need to readjust our priorities. We can spend so much time thinking work is such a strong priority and it takes so much time. And my family is very important. I need to juggle things around. And even my health and my well-being, I've got to spend so much time on those things. And I push things aside to accommodate them. But can I ask how much time we really push other things around to make room for Jesus? Or is it just too inconvenient to do that? The challenge this season as we prepare room for him may mean that we need to think about, if I want to grow as a person who God dwells within me, Susan, as you said, that the Jesus is given birth in me, it may mean that I need to change how I think. What I do to accommodate him. How much time do we spend really allowing God to dwell in our life? around your tables at home? How much time do you spend talking about God stuff, having those spiritual conversations, bringing the name of Jesus into your conversations around your table? How much time do you spend quite literally sitting down with God's word, opening it up and saying, I'm going to turn the television off now. I'm not going to fill my mind with some of that stuff. I'm going to spend time just looking at God's word and really discovering what it means for that to become real for me. How much time do we spend quietly in the presence of Jesus in prayer? And there's valid reasons why, you know, it can be difficult. But sometimes we just need to make room and push other things aside because they distract us from really getting to know Jesus. Again, I want to encourage you each with Alpha. Alpha is one of those times where we spend dedicated time just getting back into God's word, rediscovering afresh, anew, who Jesus is, who God is, who the Holy Spirit is, what it means for us to live each and every day as a follower of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to consider that. Again, if we sit comfortably and think God's going to do something, if I'm comfortable, then I get complacent. Sometimes we need to think, okay, this may not be what I've planned, but if it's what God wants me to do, I've actually got to step into that. So even for a period of 10 weeks saying, if it means I'm going to spend a little bit extra time here on a Sunday afternoon so that I get to know more of who Jesus is, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Physically, this is what it looked like, that manger scene. But spiritually for you, what does it mean for Jesus to dwell in your life? Each and every day. As part of John's words in here, as part of his little preparation, in verse 9 he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And we see this representation of the star that kind of shone over that manger scene to guide the shepherds, to guide the wise men when they eventually got there. That idea of light coming into the world. But that was Jesus himself. Light and everyone coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. We want to be people born of God, allowing him to dwell in us and being born as children of God as well. He came as a light. He came as one who wanted to shine his love, his grace, his mercy into our lives.